Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
We continue on DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, along with Derek Mason and Connor Newt. Adam Dingen is on vacation this weekend. We go to our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are about to be joined by Mitch Light. Let me see if I got this right. I'm remote today up at Denison University at Shorney Hall in the dormitory because I am super fan dad watching my son in the Super Regionals this weekend. As Denison tries to get back to the Division III College World Series. So, is Mitch Light on the line?
I'm here, Willie.
He is.
Got him.
All right, this is excellent news.
You just a technical whiz, Willie. I'm very impressed.
What's that?
I said you're a technical whiz getting me on. I'm very impressed with you.
Technical whiz. Yes, always have been. I learned it when I was in the Branscombe dorm way back in the day. You were not before. Were you a Branscombe guy, Mitch, or were you a different dorm at Vanderbilt?
Tolman Hall. Tolman Hall, unair-conditioned, the last unair-conditioned dorm at Vanderbilt. Some of the hottest months of my life. I have PTSD.
I'm sure that was
that
very pleasant coming down south from New Jersey, going to high school here. But speaking of Vanderbilt,
so,
Mitch,
before we get started, I talked to Connor there. His dad, Rick, used to umpire a lot of the games. I coached with Gabe over at BSAA, and I'm kind of wishing we had the ABS challenge system back then. I think Gabe might have had a few more quality at bats, but you know, you had to deal with what you had to deal with.
No rebuttal, Connor?
No, I mean, Gabe and I played with and against each other, but yeah, I think Rick Newt could use the ABS in his life, is all I'll say.
It's there to help the umpires. It's not there to embarrass the umpires. It's there to help the umpires. And we do know this. I did watch Gabe enough to know he did know the strike zone. He was not afraid to be a patient hitter.
That was one of his strengths. Yeah. So good luck to the Denison Big Red too, Willie.
Well, yeah, one win away from the College World Series. Let's see what happens. But Mitch, let me ask you what we've been kicking around during this hour, and that is in this day and age of college football, especially. It looks more and more like Vanderbilt and Tennessee might or will be starting the bulk of their games with freshman quarterbacks. And we're sort of just kicking around. What are the challenges with that? And based on the expectations of each program, who's in better shape?
Well, it's very challenging. It's difficult. Bryce Underwood was number one recruit in the country last year at Michigan and struggled. Their offense struggled. Barrett Bachmeyer, who was not a heralded recruit, was good at BYU. There really weren't that many true freshmen. I just think it's so difficult to read defenses. The jump from high school to college is we take for granted some of these veteran quarterbacks. A guy like Diego Pavia, who was in his sixth year or fifth year, but you know, in that system for so much, knew exactly what to do, the checks and all that stuff, where really good defensive coordinators can really make life difficult for a true freshman quarterback. And just, you know, you see the term, you know, seeing ghosts and all that stuff. It's just going to be very difficult for Jared Curtis and Brandon Faison, or Faison Brandon. I always get his name wrong, at Tennessee. So, I mean, supporting cast, you know, who's better? We don't know yet. I mean, Vanderbilt had a better team last year. I think that was quarterback driven because Pavia was so good. The one thing about Vanderbilt, it's a new look offensive line too. So, if Tennessee does go that route, you know, they'll lean on the running game, I'm sure, just like Vanderbilt would like to. But it's not an enviable position in the short term. But if you've got the right guy, which both schools, five-star quarterbacks, it can obviously pay dividends in the long term. But in this day and age with fans and college athletics, you know, we all want success immediately. So fans are going to have to be patient with both guys.
This was another topic earlier that we want your input on. happened to see Nate Bargatze on his continuing tour to promote his movie. But unique situation today. He brought Jared Curtis with him. I don't know if, who planned it or if Clark Lee had any input, but Pat McAfee show, pretty big audience. And there's Jared Curtis, a true freshman, hasn't ever played. All kinds of expectations and excitement about him coming. And, of course, the connection to Nate Bargatze is a well-told story. How would you feel about that before he's done much on the field, getting that kind of exposure? Because the exposure to the program is one thing, Mitch, and that's great. But you don't want to put any extra expectations on the player itself.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, like, you know, in the past, some of this would never happen. Coaches were control freaks. In this day and age where the guys are making a lot of money and they're being paid by outside sources, and a lot of times some of their media opportunities are from outside sources. And so the school really has no say in it. I don't know what the situation here is now. I do agree that it's kind of putting him in a – not a difficult spot, but it's a huge audience. What if he says something dumb? Just like we all say dumb stuff, but he's like not that used to being in front of a microphone. But I think the positives in this case far outweigh any potential negatives. And I'm sure Clark Lee was on. I would think Clark Lee would be on board again. You can put on that show talking about Vanderbilt football to that audience. It's a win for the program, and you can't hide. You can't pretend that Jared Curtis is just a four-star quarterback or a three-star quarterback from Paducah, Kentucky, and he's just another guy. He's not. And they knew what they were getting when they convinced him to come to Vanderbilt. So you gotta roll with it, I think. You can't say no to that opportunity.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic, talking Vandy sports. Mitch, now we've seen sort of this transition with older rosters. We've seen it more so. And it's been prevalent, and it's been, you know, you saw the fruits of the labor very quickly. You look at Michigan's team, they won a national championship, and you look at their roster and their older individuals. So we've seen it, and I think we're used to it possibly on a basketball level. But on a football level, do you think they're going to start prioritizing more? Because we understand before it was, how does your recruiting class look? You know, are you the best recruiting class in the country, but you got a bunch of freshmen that you expect – that some of them may play and some of them may not, but you're basing it on, you know, five-star and four-star. Whereas now you see teams choosing to go the route of transfers, portal guys, and then basing their team based upon that. Now, no longer are they, you know, looking at their recruiting class and saying, okay, this is what we're going to lay our hat on. It seems like it's more so now they're going to the transfer portal, and this is how teams are building – this is how programs are building their team each and every year.
Yeah, I think it's dependent on the program, but clearly teams are trying to get old. And you've seen that with Vanderbilt on both lines of scrimmage. They basically rebuilt their offensive line every year with transfers. Now, it can be dangerous because that's a position that relies on continuity and chemistry, but – They've been two for two. Their offensive line 2 years ago, I'd say, was average. Last year, maybe a little slightly above that. So I think ideally as a program, it's a balance. You still want to develop your guys. I think the programs that recruit at a higher level, the Georgias, Alabamas, Ohio States, they're always going to have their program guys who grow up within the program. And by the time they're third year, fourth year guys, you definitely want them starting. Other programs that don't recruit at that level, you're still trying to develop, but you're going to miss out on – you're going to miss. You know, you're not going to hit on every three-star you get. So if you try to develop your recruiting class of three stars and sprinkle in some four stars, and then you figure out, hey, these guys are not good enough for us to compete in the SEC or the Big Ten, you've got to go to the portal. And when you do that, you've got to get older guys to plug those holes. One thing that's interesting, we saw it starting this year, though, is there just aren't the volume of older guys isn't going to be as prevalent because we're past the COVID years. We're past the fifth year of playing six-year eligibility guys. You know, Vanderbilt's offensive line the last couple of years had plenty of guys who in a different era would not have been eligible. So teams that have relied on that, they got to be wary because I don't think the pool of SEC, Big Ten, you know, power conference caliber guys is going to be in future years what we've seen in the past couple of years.
Now, if Jared Curtis wins the starting job and starts day one, is this team, based upon what Coach Lee has done through the portal, as well as obviously recruiting out of high school. Are they in position to, you know, help a young quarterback grow as the season goes on, or is this a situation where he's going to take a lot of lumps this year because this team is not quite like the team of last year?
Well, that's a great point. And, like, I would argue that, like, last year, Pavia was he not bailed them out. That might be, not be the right term. But he was so much the engine that drove that offense, that if you put an average quarterback in that offense, there would probably be a decent offense. But, you know, this is a team that led the nation in yards per play, which to me is, like, one of the most important stats. It's just so – it just tells you how good he was. And another thing – you know, Vanderbilt had one guy drafted. That's just insane from a 10-2 SEC team. Like, the Iowa team they played in the bowl game, I think, had 8 guys drafted. Vanderbilt had none, or one, and he didn't even play in the bowl game. So the point is, it's not a program that's, like, oozing with elite NFL talent. They've done a very good job coaching them up and developing and all that. So I do think they're going to ask Jared Curtis to do some things next year. Like, he's going to have to make some plays. It's not going to be a strictly game manager. They've got decent running backs. I don't think they've got great running backs. A lot of it obviously is going to depend on the offensive line and how that develops. But I don't think you have a guy like Jared Curtis and you just ask him to hand the ball off all day. They're going to ask him to make some plays.
Now, Tyler Tanner, obviously, he still hasn't decided on what he was going to do. There was an article that came out today that sort of ranked guys on should they go back to college or should they pursue their dream of playing in the NBA. And he didn't get favorable marks from those that have been watching him, I guess, in sort of this combine setting, and say that he should. And I don't take it as a bad thing. I just take it as a, hey, you can play, but you're just not ready yet.
Yeah, like, I think all signs point to Tyler Tanner coming back to college. Mm-hmm. It's been very quiet from his camp. Like, there's no, like, I haven't heard any, like, oh, you know, he just hasn't announced he's definitely doing this. But I think most of us think he's coming back. And, you know, by all accounts, he did not play great in those 5-on-5 scrimmages. There's a couple of things. Like, he's obviously not going to get taller, which is one of his main issue, but he can get quite a bit stronger. You know, he got a lot stronger between his freshman and his sophomore year, and I think that helped him with his shooting, made his legs stronger. But his shooting still wasn't great this year. You know, in SEC games, I think he shot like 32%. I think that can get a lot better. So I think he can improve a lot if he comes back. Now, he might just be dead set on, you know what, I want to play in the NBA. I don't care if I'm a second rounder. This is my dream. Like, that might be the case. We don't know. But I think all rational signs point to him coming back to college. But I guess, you know, we'll find out in the next week.
Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic. And, you know, Mitch, we've had a lot of portal-themed stuff, as we always do. It's become such a big part of college sports. And just from the Vanderbilt prism, we've discussed – you know, if Tyler Tanner comes back, it looks like Mark Byington has done another good job grabbing a few of the guys back. He lost a lot of seniors, but it looks like he's gone out and picked up some other guys that look like they've had a lot of productive games in other places.
Yep.
And also Clark Lee, we discussed his formula. Tim Corbin, I think by his own admission, after they lost the other day to Florida, he had a real thoughtful answer to a question of, you know, tell me where you are in this whole process, because we know Tim Corbin had a tremendous formula, almost unmatched, of finding great recruits and developing them from high school age up to the time they were draft eligible. And he wants that story to continue. He wants to go to their weddings. He wants to be lifelong friends. And we know that gets jumbled up with all that's happening right now. So why do you think, or tell me what you think the issues are of him trying to figure out? He said, I'm going to figure this bleep out, was the quote that jumped out to me, of how to use the portal to your advantage. What do you think's missing there?
I think it's a little bit of a false, like, they do use the portal, and I'm not going to sit here and argue with Tim Corbin. Obviously, he knows. But, like, some people say, oh, Vanderbilt doesn't use the portal. Like, Last year, for instance, their two of their three starting pitchers, Connor Fennell and Cody Bowker, were transfers. Sawyer Hawks, their closer, was a transfer. They had a transfer commitment from Joseph Zierua, who was the Big Ten Pitcher of the Year, who from Michigan State, who changed his mind basically after a Michigan State alum came in with a huge NIL package for him. You know, this year, Mike Mancini, Logan Johnston were two transfers. Carter Johnstone was in the opening day lineup. I think they had five or six transfers on their team. Nate Taylor, they thought he was an opening day Sunday starter, started the first five Sundays. You can say that was a poor evaluation because he ended up not having a good year. But it's not like they don't use the portal. They have not signed the top 10, top 15-ish portal guys that you see at LSU, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Maybe that's not wanting to spend the money, whatever, or for whatever reason. Maybe that's what Tim Corbin's talking about, plugging some holes with a no doubt about it portal, you know, ace on a Friday night, which is difficult to do. So I think that the lineup was good this year. We all know the offensive improvements they made under Jason Esposito. I think from a number standpoint, they're going to have to go to the portal for the pitching staff. I think the freshman core of pitchers were good. And will continue to develop, but they need some more known commodities next year. They can't just rely or hope that some of these freshman guys make the jump. And obviously, you know, no one wants to make excuses, but health was a big factor in the demise of the pitching. So, I mean, we all know Tim Corbin's very emotional. That was after the game, immediately after the game. I think he'll sit back, come back, meet with his staff, and I don't think they're going to panic or anything. They just got to make some key personnel decisions. There'll be some guys not asked back, and they'll definitely go to the portal to try and fortify a few spots.
Mitch, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend, and stay in the air conditioning so you're not reminded of your freshman year at Vanderbilt.
Thank you very much, and go Big Red.
All right, go Big Red indeed. All right, that's Mitch Light from The Athletic. Joins us to talk some college sports. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans OTAs. Derek is ready to go, and we're going to talk about some of the things that Cam Ward looks like he's up to here. We talked about the weight loss earlier. We'll get back into that, and also just how that is going to play itself out on the field. What are some of the things that we're looking for with that? So stay tuned. The final hour of the show is coming up next here on DVD 102.5 The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.